today. God bless you so much. Thank you. What a blessing that is. And I'm going to ask any of the boys and girls who want to come on down to the front. We'll have our little object lesson here, something I think you're going to remember a long, long time. Come on down to the front, those of you who are here. Anyone who's not comfortable going to the classes, feel free to stay here in the auditorium, no problem at all. There will be no Arts and Crafts Convalescent Ministry meeting today because of the coronavirus and everything kind of shutting down. Through the week, we will not have classic conversations on Tuesdays. We will not have BSF on Wednesday. We will not have the ladies' Bible study on Friday. Just trying to comply and keep. And by the way, everything's been deep cleaned, and we have sanitizing for all the toys and all of the stuff. Always in the nursery, we do that, and we've done that with the kids' rooms as well. So we're doing it. Faith and wisdom, a combination there. Faith and wisdom. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my strength, of whom shall I be afraid? So we don't want to be fearful, but we want to be wise and not take unnecessary risks. So no meetings through the rest of this week. We'll see how it goes next week. Stay fluid. Stay loose. We may change things. Who knows? Next Sunday, Lord willing, the sermon will be 1,000 years and forevermore. We'll be talking about the kingdom and talking about eternity beyond that, which is going to be an incredible place and an incredible time. And then if everything settles down by Easter, 2 services, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. If not, I'm going to see if I can get a refund on the banner we just put up out front and the invitations we had printed up that I haven't picked up yet because, oh, well. But you know what? Lord knows what's going on. So he rose from the dead anyhow, amen, whether we have Easter service or not. But if you could work 1 hour and then be there 1 hour, that would be great. We would appreciate it. Worship 1 hour and work 1 hour. Boys and girls, I'm going to show you something. You are going to remember this. And all these people out here aren't even going to be able to see it because it's all going to happen right here. And they're not even going to be able to see it. I'm sure there's a way, if I knew how to do it, to put it on the phone, that would go to the computer, that would go on the screen, that would go to Facebook, that would probably go to Russia at some point. And, you know. But so I want you to gather around so you can see this dish right here, okay? See this dish right here. Now, what's in there?
Water.
Okay, there you're exactly right. That is cool, clear water, very, very special water. It's not holy water. It's just plain old water, okay? Now, this is pepper. See, it's ground pepper. And this is going to be an illustration. So I'm going to pretend like this is germs, okay? This is not germs. This is pepper. It tastes good on food, right? But watch this. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Now, I'm going to need a volunteer in a minute. So, okay, that's like germs. Now, I need somebody to stick your finger in there. Okay, stick your finger in it, and then tell us what happens. Pull it out.
Stick to my finger.
Oh, look at the germs all over a finger. Now, I want to show you something else. This is GMS, God's message of salvation. I need somebody's finger. Okay, now watch this. Okay, now stick your finger in there and see what happens. What happened, boys and girls?
None of it
stuck. And what happened to the germs?
They ran away.
Somebody else want to do it?
Me.
Okay, hold your finger up here. There you go. Okay. Look at that. You want to do it?
Nope.
There you go. Stick your finger. Oh, she's going to clean off her hands.
So,
is that cool or what? So you know what? It's like when Jesus. Oh, you want something now? Okay, I've started something here now. Okay, good deal. You know what? The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, all unrighteousness. Sin came by one man through Adam, and so death passed upon all because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know what? Life came through another man who was God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so the sins fall off us, they're gone. He removes them from us as far as the east is from the west. You ought to try it when you get home. It is awesome. I'm telling you. When they stick their finger in. Yes, ma'am. Okay, here we go. There we go. When they stick their finger in without this on there, it sticks. All the pepper sticks to their finger. When you spray some of this on or soap and you stick it, it actually moves the pepper to the outside. It completely moves it away. So it is awesome. Do you guys remember this, huh? All right, now, if that was real germs, you wouldn't want to stick your fingers in it, right? So wash your hands a lot and use a lot of spray and make sure that you stay healthy, okay? All right, but most of all, trust Jesus as your Savior. You want some more? Here you go. This girl is going to be pure, I'm telling you right now. Let's pray. Father, we pray your blessings on these girls and these boys and pray that you would protect them during this time and all the time. Lord, keep them healthy, keep them whole. Bless in church service and the classes. Bless in the auditorium here, we pray in Jesus' name. And all the kids said, amen. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and go to your classes, and thank you so much. She wants some more, Ryan. I know she can get her for her birthday. Get her some GMS supplies. All right. Today, we're talking about the Great White Throne Judgment, and actually, the WWE, which used to be the WWF, used to have an annual professional wrestling pay-per-view event they called what? Judgment Day. Judgment Day. Governor Schwarzenegger, used to be a governor in California, starred in a film in 1991 called Terminator 2, Judgment Day. All right. The teachings of Islam indicate that Judgment Day begins 30 years before the end of the world. There are those Christians who believe there's one Judgment Day. I used to have a hymnal, probably more than one, but I had one at least that had a song called The Great Judgment Day, as if that was the day when all the judgments are going to take place. But in reality, according to the Word of God, there are many different judgments in Scripture. In John 9:39, Jesus said these words, and I'm reading it from the Amplified because I love the way it spells it out here. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, brackets, to separate those who believe in me from those who reject me. Isn't that interesting? To separate those who believe in me from those who reject me, to declare judgment on those who choose to be separated from God. You see, God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. People reject him, and so therefore they make the decision to refuse to accept him, and they want to separate from him. So he says, I came for that purpose, to be able to separate those who love me and believe in me from those who want to be separated from me, so that the sightless would see and those who see would become blind. Let's look at three separate judgments this morning, and we have a graph up here, a chart rather. We've already talked about one of them, the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to talk about it a little bit again, but that happens at the rapture, that arrow going up past the church age. That's the rapture. And then the judgment seat of Christ takes place. That's one judgment right there. Judgment of the nations will happen right over here, going into the millennial kingdom. And then the judgment of the unsaved, the great white throne judgment, is at the very end of the millennial reign. So let's look briefly, because we already had a message on it, on the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we, Paul referenced himself along with other believers, we as believers must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the beneficial things, or evil, which would be the worthless things that we have done in this earthly body. So again, to recount, that judgment seat of Christ is going to be for children of God, Christians, who then will stand before God and their works will be evaluated. So the things that we did for the glory of God, for the right purposes, the right things we did for the right purposes, will result in rewards. The things that we did that were worthless and not beneficial, or we did them for the wrong reasons, we did them for the praise of other people, like some of the Pharisees would pray on the street corners, hands lifted up, pray loud, wonderful, amazing, oh God, Father of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, the great I am, the Alpha, the Omega. Yeah, I mean, they already have their reward, Jesus said. They already have it. But so those would be worthless things, even praying, but for the wrong purpose, for the glory of man. So Paul says here, and another place in Romans 14:10, so why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we believers must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's also called the Bema seat. You remember that? And that was like the Greek games where they would compete in all kinds of events. And once they competed, the winners would get wreaths that were crowns woven out of some kind of vegetation material. And they would compete. They would stand on the podium and up on the stage, rather, and they'd receive their rewards. So that was the Bema seat, and that's the word that's used here to describe the judgment seat of Christ. We believers, used 26 times in this chapter, refers to we who are saved. The basis is works, but not for salvation, but for reward. The time that it occurs is after the rapture, before the revelation or the return, when Christ comes literally to the earth. And then the result is rewards, the loss of rewards, the place it takes place, in the air, in the heavenlies. The judge is Jesus Christ. John 5:22, the Father judges no man. Instead, he's given the Son absolute authority to judge. And then general things to think about, to talk about with this, it's not to determine whether someone is saved or not. That's already determined by their faith in Christ or the lack of faith in Christ. The merit of the works is what's being judged. And you remember we talked about the crowns. The crown of life is a martyr's crown. The crown of glory for the pastor teacher. The crown of rejoicing for the soul winner. The crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing. And the crown incorruptible, victor's crown. So that's kind of a recap. The second judgment I want to talk to you about today is the judgment of the nations. This is often misunderstood, the judgment of the nations. Because when you think about that, and when you read that, it's like, okay, so God's going to judge the nations, and it's on the basis, we'll find out in a minute, on the treatment of the Jews during the tribulation time. Because the tribulation time, as we talked about, is a terrible time of judgment and death and destruction and all kinds of problems. And so the people who treat the Jews, the Hebrew people, in the right way, in a godly way, are going to be blessed, and they're going to stand before God at this judgment, and they're going to be able to enter into the millennial kingdom in their natural bodies. But when it says judgment of the nations, we get the idea, okay, if the United States is friendly to Israel, then all the U.S. citizens will go into the millennium that are alive at that point in time. That's not the case, okay? It's called the judgment of the nations because it's the judgments of the Gentiles. So let's go ahead and read a little bit about it. First of all, if I get too far ahead of myself, in Matthew 25:31, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, that's the revelation, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Sorry, all you who are sitting on this side. So the sheep on one side, the goats on the other. The sheep are the ones that belong to his flocks. The goats are not, obviously, are not sheep. So they don't follow necessarily the shepherd. So in Joel chapter 3, it said, at the time of these events, I will restore the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem. I will gather the armies of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat. So that's already revealing where it's going to take place. And there I will judge them for harming my people, my special possession, for scattering my people among the nations, and for dividing up my land. Now, why would we think that the Jews would be the object of persecution and mistreatment during the time of the tribulation? Well, because they have been that for 2,000 years or more. They have been mistreated by nations. They have been, there's even a name, anti-Semitism, for those who dislike the Jews. And in World War II, you know what happened with millions, multiplied millions, at least 6 million being put to death in German concentration camps and in the ovens and so on. They've been persecuted like no other people ever before. No other nation, by the way, has ever been out of its homeland for 2,000 years and come back into its homeland again, except for Israel. Now look, I know that salvation has included the Gentiles. Jesus, when he came, included the Gentiles, and thank the Lord for that. I'm so thankful he did. I'm glad I have the opportunity to be a child of God. I'm glad I have the opportunity to have my sins forgiven. I'm thankful for that. But Israel is still special to him. They're still a chosen people. They're wayward right now. And according to his own definition, they're adulterous right now because spiritually they're not faithful to him. But there will be a time when they will turn back to him when he returns. And then the judgment prior to the millennial kingdom upon the Gentile nations is this. If you treated my people correctly, I'm going to let you enter into the kingdom. And if you didn't, then I'm not going to. And the basis for treating his people with respect and dignity and watching over them and hiding them as they did in World War II is faith in who Jesus is faith in who God is. And so we can ascertain from that this is personal responses from people of various nations. These are Gentiles all around the world, some of whom were favorable, some of whom were not favorable to the Jewish people. He said, I tell you the truth. Jesus said, when you did it unto one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, You will do it unto me. And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. No unsaved person will enter the kingdom of God. Now, let's back up just a minute. The rapture takes place prior to the tribulation. So those of us who are alive when Christ comes, it could be any moment, we'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be caught up together, our bodies will be glorified. I once heard about a nursery that said, we shall all be changed in a moment. I can't even remember how it's said. Anyway, we'll go up, our bodies will be glorified. Those who have passed away, my mom and dad, your relatives who are believers, they're already with the Lord. They're coming back with him in the air, and then their bodies will be resurrected, glorified, put back together. How, preacher, how can that happen? How can that happen? Someone's been in the grave for 50 years. How can that possibly happen? You know what? I'm sorry. It's not a big problem for God. If he can cause a little baby to be knit together in his mother's womb with matter and DNA that's not even hardly visible by the human eye, he can put bodies back together and glorify them, and that's what's going to happen. So all of the believers will already be up in the heaven with him. So when we come back at the revelation, we're in glorified bodies. We're going to the millennium. The people who haven't yet died in the tribulation will have, if their faith was in God and their faith was in Christ, many of them were beheaded for the gospel's sake. You remember reading that in the book of Revelation? They were beheaded. Others maybe lived through it, were not beheaded, but now they're at the judgment of the nations, which is the judgment of the individuals of the various Gentile nations who are gathered together. I hope I haven't confused that too much. That's what it is. And so they're judged on the basis of their treatment of the Jews. And the time is at the return of the revelation of Christ following the Battle of Armageddon prior to going into the millennial kingdom. The result is some are saved and enter into the millennium, others are unsaved and cast into hell. So the saved go in their natural bodies. Guess what? They will have children in the millennial kingdom. They will have children who will have children who will have children for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom. Where's the place for this judgment? It's on the earth in the valley of Jehoshaphat in Megiddo, right there where the Battle of Armageddon was. Who's the judge? Jesus Christ. The general thoughts here, sheep, goats, and brethren. That's what the sheep are, the ones who took care of Jews and loved on the Jews during this terrible time of tribulation. The goats did not. They persecuted them, one of them gone. And then the brethren are the Jews, many of whom get saved when Christ comes back. There's no resurrection involved in this judgment of the nations, okay? There was in the judgment seat of Christ, resurrection of believers, none in this one. Then there's this, the most terrible of all is the great white throne judgment, the final, which is also called the final judgment. Its name is the great white throne, Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. I've got 5 and 6 up there, but that's talking about the first resurrection, which has already occurred. In verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it, the earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. The dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead, and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. And then death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. The great white throne judgment. Great, why? Because the power of Almighty God will be demonstrated. Great, because there'll be vast crowds of observers. The saved, those of us who are born again, will be there watching what's going on, and of the condemned, the lost of all the ages. I'm talking the Stalins, the Hitlers, the Nehrus, the Caligula. The worst of the worst of the Pol Pot. Those people will be there as lost people standing condemned before an almighty God. It's great because of the eternal significance of the judgment. There is no redo. There is no do-over. Once people have died and they're in their eternal state, that's forever. Great men of all the ages will be there. That's why another reason it's called great. Angels, good and bad, will be there. The fallen angels will be judged. The dignity of the judge is another reason it's called great. The power of the gospel to redeem will be illustrated for all to see. You'll be able to see it. It won't be like this little object lesson where you, I wonder what's going on up there. Why are they wanting stuff sprayed on their hands? What's going on? Because the power of the gospel to cleanse us from our sins will be demonstrated. It's the great white throne, talking of God's purity, his righteousness, his holiness, illustrated without spot, without blemish, whiteness. There'll be no making deals with the judge. There'll be no bribing the judge. There'll be no influencing in an illegal matter. There'll be no inequities whatsoever. Judgment will be rendered by the Almighty God of the universe, who will know exactly what the right thing to do is and will do exactly the right thing. There'll be no mistakes. There'll be no mistrials. There'll be no hung juries. There'll be no crooked lawyers. There'll be no foolish jurors. There'll be no fallible judges. Jesus is the judge. And he knows the end from the beginning, the beginning from the end. He knows those who are his. He knows those who are not. Jesus knew that Judas stole from the treasury. Did you know that? Jesus knew that Judas stole from the treasury before he ever turned on Christ, before he ever, looking at the word, what's the word? Before he ever betrayed him. Yeah, he knew that. I always look at treasures kind of. There's a gat here. Don't tell her I said that, okay? Fitz, if you're watching this, I know that you're not a problem. So, okay. But anyhow, all right. So the white throne, the great white throne, the subjects are the lost. 2 Peter 3:7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the days of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. In verse 12 of Revelation 20, I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the basis for their condemnation and their judgment are their works and the rejection of Christ. Their names are not written in God's book of life. You know why? Because the only way it can be written there is in blood, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And when they have rejected the saving power of Christ, their names are not written in. Their works are brought up because their works are going to be shown to be deficient. Because by the works of the flesh can no flesh be saved. No one can be. Our works cannot save our little pinky, let alone the rest of our eternal souls. The works and the rejection of Christ. By the way, it's good time for personal introspection, because the Bible says not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We preached, we spoke in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. Words of Christ. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So when our walk and our talk don't match up, something's amiss. When our talk says one thing, when our talk says we're believers, but our walk seems to be entirely different. A lot of businesses struggle because of all kinds of red tape that's involved. And a lot of times it would be easy, I would suppose, as a business owner to kind of say, well, I'll just kind of bend this a little bit here. I'll bend the truth a little bit here. Can't do that. Your walk and your talk need to line up. Daniel said it this way, I watched as thrones were put in place and the ancient one sat down to judge. His clothing was white as snow. His hair was purest wool. He sat on a fiery throne with wheels of blazing fire and a river of fire pouring out, flowing from his presence. Millions of angels ministered to him. Many millions stood to attend him. Then the court began its session and the books were opened. When does this happen? At the end of the millennium. Judgment of the nations took place at the beginning. This takes place at the end. Now, what's going to happen? All of those who entered into the millennial age in their natural bodies, who will be supernaturally allowed to live longer lifespans, by the way, like not unlike the patriarchs lived, much longer lifespans, they will then be judged about their on their relationship to Jesus Christ. Are they believers? Have they new people who've been born during that? Are they born again? Have they received the Christ that their parents believed in that got them into the kingdom or not? Always, 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 salvation is based on grace through faith, not on works. And the result is terrifying and tragic. The result is the sea giving up its dead, the grave giving up their dead, and everyone was judged according to their deeds, and then death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire, and this lake of fire is the second death. There are three kinds of death talked about in the Word of God. There's physical death, and unfortunately we're all familiar with that. Hebrews 9:27 says, but as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So every one of us, if the Lord doesn't come back in the next 100 years, more than likely every single one of us will pass away. That's physical death. Then there's spiritual death. Spiritual death is the absence of God in a person's life. Spiritual death is being two-thirds complete. They have physical life, they have mental or emotional life, but they do not have the spiritual life. The spirit has not been quickened and made alive. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person, the natural man or woman, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? They are foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit teaches us and becomes involved in that. John 5:25 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now is when the dead in Christ when the dead, rather, shall hear the voice of the living God, and they that hear shall live. So there's physical death, there's spiritual death, and then there's the second death, which is eternal separation from Almighty God. I saw years ago a bumper sticker, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Right? They say, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Because you, if you're a born-again child of God, you had your physical birthday, then you had your spiritual birthday, and you're only going to die one time. That's physically. And then you live, you have eternal life instead of eternal death. When is this? Where does this take place? It's in the heavens before God's throne. Who's the judge? Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God the Father has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's happening. That's happening. You can take that to the bank. It's going to happen. There are going to be degrees of punishment in hell. There'll be rewards based on works and the good things that were done for the right reason. There'll be some who'll get a lot more rewards. We'll be surprised and shocked. Some who were last here are going to be first there. Some who were first here are going to be last there, right? So the rewards are going to vary on the basis of what we do for God. So is the punishment. Jesus talked about some receiving many stripes, some few stripes. For whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, to him they will ask the more. Depends on their amount of knowledge and exposure. I'm going to tell you, it's got to be tough for Americans. It's got to be tough for people who were brought up in a land where the gospel is preached on television, radio, and on church properties everywhere. And by the way, California is, I don't know if you realize this, if you're from California, there are a lot of things you don't realize. In the Midwest, you can have four corners, you can have four churches. I mean, there's, you know, this one, that one, another one, and some other one. And you go another block or two, and there'll be two or three more. And you go another block or two the other way, there'll be two or three more. Churches everywhere. It's going to be really hard to stand before God and say, I never heard. I didn't know. I didn't realize. Because it's so prevalent in our society. But there are societies where people will receive fewer stripes, so to speak, because the gospel was not so readily available. Eternal death, no appeals, no new trials, no extenuating circumstances, no tainted or planted evidence, no plea bargaining, no other chances after death. There's a sign in the Midwest that used to be in a lot of farmers' fields, prepare to meet thy God. My question is, are you prepared? One more chart up here, if we could have that. One more chart. You have humanity over here. You have God over here. The great chasm is sin. No one can go from point A to point B on their own. The chasm is too far, too deep, too wide. Here came Jesus Christ, and his cross and his death on the cross bridged the gap and paid the price for our sins so that we could go from here to him. Have you made that journey? Would you bow your head, please? Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful for the love that you show to us. Lord, we're so thankful that Jesus Christ did in fact come. And Lord, when we talk about these terrifying times of future judgment, I pray that every single one of us would make sure of our own personal relationship with you. I pray that our walk and our talk would be in agreement. They would line up together. I pray, Father, that you might speak to hearts even right now. And Lord, if there are those here that are not sure of their relationship with you, maybe they think they're okay, but they're not certain, that they would make sure right now. Others who know they're not ready for eternity, that today would be the day of salvation. So I pray, God, that you would bless us. We are obedient to you in whatever way you lead us. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you'd like to make certain of your relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer from your heart to God. I want you to say something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. There's no doubt about that. I know the wages of sin is death, and someday I'm going to die. Don't like to think about it. Don't like to talk about it. But I know it's true. And I do believe that you love us and that Jesus is your son. I believe that by faith. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to be my Savior, to take away my doubts and my fears, and help me to be confident in you. Lord, I know I can't get to heaven on my own, so please be my God and be my Savior. I pray with every head bowed. If you raise your hand, if you prayed that prayer, would you raise your hand just for a moment? Hold it up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Are there others besides these? Anyone else? I just prayed that prayer, preacher. I meant it with all my heart. Anybody else? God in heaven, I pray your blessings upon these. I pray, Lord, if there's someone else who should have prayed that prayer, that you would, by grace, give them the opportunity to do that, even today. Lord, we pray your blessings upon our nation. God, flood us with your grace and your mercy. Forgive us of our sins. Give us revival. Give us healing of physical disease. More importantly, even, give us healing of spiritual disease and sin. God, break sinful habits. God, keep us from the works of the flesh, the devil, and the world. Father, bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Those of you that prayed that prayer after the service, in the back by the sound booth, there are some blue plastic bags on the table there. And I want you to take one of those with you. I want you to pick up one of those and take it. You don't have to, no one's going to question you or stop you. Just grab one of those, take it home, and get started in your Christian walk. And if there's any way we can help, we would be glad to. I'm down here. If you need to have prayer, my wife is right down here. So as the praise team leads us in an invitation hymn, would you step out, come on down, let us pray with you if there's something you need right now.
Before even time began, my life.
us. He hears us when you call. I'm going to ask you to be seated. We have a video, short video, that we want you to see, and then I'm going to ask Gat and Chris to come on up here and present something that our church has been involved in for the past few years, and hopefully we'll be involved in again, of course, considering what's going to happen over the next few weeks. But go ahead and check out the video.